Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to my podcast. My name's Lorena and this is The Pooch. I'm starving like a dog, my son is asleep, and I'm going to take this opportunity to record episode 42. Oh my gosh, this is amazing, because we all know that any minute now he's going to wake up and my co-host is going to join us. We were running so late this morning. I set my alarm, which I never do, and then it went off and I snoozed, which I never do. I don't know what's happened to me. Anyway, we're all very well rested. But I didn't get my daughter to preschool until, like, I think it was like 9:30, quarter to 10, which is just such a waste of a morning. Anyway, no, not a waste. We had a great morning. I just have so much to do. So my son's asleep and I thought I would sit down and record this episode before he wakes up. I have been well. I turned 37 since you last heard from me. And in case you were wondering, in case you haven't experienced it yet, 37 feels wonderful. It's crazy to me that when I was in my 20s, I used to like totally cringe at getting older. And now I'm just like, it feels great. Like, who cares? It's just such a nice feeling. And maybe, you know, maybe I'm one of the fortunate ones whose my life is somewhat where I thought it would be at this age, I guess. So maybe that's my privilege and that's why I'm like, yeah, life is great. But yeah, I feel good. I feel like I've got goals and I'm still feeling very driven to achieve them. And I feel like, for me, birthdays kind of feel like a little bit of like a new year. Like, I always have like birthday resolutions. It's a new year, new start, fresh, you know, fresh, clean slate. And I feel like, other than the fact that, you know, I had some leftover birthday cake that's kind of taken a few days to get through. So I've been eating cake every day. My dad made a delicious Dutch apple tart. And yeah, it's just been sitting in my fridge and I've been chipping at it away, but it's gone now. I have this thing where I'm like, if I've got something that I know is going to tempt me, I have this, it's like my excuse to eat lots of it now, because then I'm like, well, I better quickly get through it, that way it's not going to tempt me later. So it's gone. The apple tart's gone. Until he makes another one, there is no more apple tart in my fridge. I have plowed through it. So I'm going to be healthy today. Anyway, episode 42 is a little bit of a rant, I'm going to say. I don't often rant. Well, in my real life, I do. If you know me, I rant plenty. But on my podcast, I don't often rant. Anyway, so this episode is, I guess, triggered by a post that I made the other day on TikTok. And it was basically a support to new mums. It was a reminder to sleep when the baby sleeps. And I know very often you hear, oh, yeah, haha, sleep when the baby sleeps. That's impossible. And I am pushing the idea that it's not impossible. It's that we prioritize other things as new first-time mums. So how essential is it to rest when the baby's sleeping, if possible? If it's within your realm of possibility and you're choosing to fold clothes or wash dishes instead of sleeping when somebody else could be doing it, or you could be doing that later, or you could just leave it as it is, because honestly, there is it, although it seems critical at the time, there is nothing more critical than your brain getting rest. We all know how tiring it is. It's a new level of exhaustion that before you've had a baby, you've never experienced in your life. Suddenly you're going through labor, pregnancy, labor, giving birth, having the baby in your arms, and then that's the end of ever resting again. You don't recover through, you don't sleep after giving birth, you don't rest after, you know, after actually going through the whole ordeal, and suddenly every night after night after night, you're kept awake, if you're lucky, every 2 hours. But, you know, in some cases like mine, it was like a continuous stream of just being awake. So I'm here saying, if you're a new mum, Sleep when the baby sleeps. Let it be somebody else's problem to do the things that you think you need to do. And again, if there's nobody else there to do that stuff, do it later or just don't do it, because your brain needs rest. So I made a post about this the other day on TikTok, and I did get, you know, a number of people saying, I wish someone had said this to me. It's such an important idea that, you know, you hear so many mums saying, you know, mocking the thought of sleeping when the baby sleeps, because when is everything else going to get done, that no one actually pushes you to actually do it. There was, however, another bunch of people that were trying to explain kind of in their circumstances why it was impossible to rest. And some of them, you know, totally valid. You know, let's say you have two babies at the same time. You've got twins. I'm talking like there's no word for it. You have twins, or you have triplets, you have multiples, and they're not sleeping at the same time. Obviously, it's not possible for you. You know, but other people would say things like, well, you know, I've got a toddler running around. How am I supposed to do that? And I'm here kind of saying, like, this is something for new mums, for first time mums. And I'm also pushing the idea that if it is possible, so my blanket statement is, if it is possible for you, sleep when the baby sleeps. And then I have a whole bunch of people saying, well, it's not possible for me. It's not possible for me for XYZ reason. And I get, this is where my rant starts, because I'm thinking, if it's not possible for you, this post is not for you. And we have to be thinking about new mums and providing them the support that we would have appreciated when we were new mums as well. Sleeping when the baby slept when I had my second baby was also not possible for me. I have a toddler. I have a baby and a toddler. At the time, she was 3 years old. There is no chance I'd be sleeping when the baby slept when I have a toddler running around who needs to be fed, needs to be cared for, is also I need to try and keep her quiet so that the baby can sleep, all that kind of stuff. I also didn't sleep a second time around because it wasn't possible for me. So it's a really simple concept, but people kind of go, but what about me in this scenario? So my rant is a little bit about this whole idea of like the world becoming a little bit too much, what about me and what about me and how does this scenario apply to me? The reason it upsets me is because here we are as mums always talking about the fact that we don't have a village. Where is my village? My village doesn't exist. And I agree. I'm like, this is, you know, I'm lucky to have, you know, a few people close to me who are there to support me, like my parents and, you know, close friends and, you know, family. But the village concept, the way that we assume it should be, doesn't exist in most of our lives. But that's not to say that we can't start thinking about how we can play that role in the lives of others, in the lives of new mums. I honestly believe if you've got something to share that is useful to a new mum, and I'm talking a new mum, a first time new mum, which is where I think we all mentally struggled the most. I believe that's my experience and the experience of the people around me, that, you know, once you have the following kids, or once you are somewhat of a seasoned mum, and I'm not that seasoned, 3.5 years I don't think makes me a seasoned mum, but to a degree I'm nowhere like the person that I was after I just had my first baby, or my, you know, 6 months in to having my first baby. That is such a different experience, such a different mind field to what I'm experiencing now. My daily struggles now are not me completely being thrown out of my reality and having no clue how I fit in the world and no clue why I'm the only one failing and struggling to keep up and why my body looks the way that it looks when all other mums seem to have their shit together. Now my headspace is in a totally different playing field. But I honestly believe that because I've been through that experience of being a new mum, and those of you listening are in the same, mostly in the same boat as me, I think we just somehow owe it to new mums so that we can stop the cycle of new mums constantly struggling. So if there's a silly little video online sharing some advice about, hey, new mums, stop thinking that you can't sleep when the baby sleeps. Forget what you've heard. Just actually do it because it's really good for you. Everyone seems to feel the need to chime in and go, well, what about me? I think the problem with this also is that it stops people wanting to share, you know, some what they feel is helpful, useful advice, because you're worried about offending people that have not been in or not been as fortunate as you, let's say, to be able to do the things that are quite healthy for you and necessary for you. So I've made other posts, for example, about how great it is when you have the chance. And I always put that proviso, like, if it's possible for you, when you have the chance, go to the gym, sneak out when everyone's still sleeping, you know, get out of the house at 5, you're going to be awake anyway, why don't you use that time to sneak out and go and do some exercise or go for a walk, have an hour to yourself. And without a shadow of doubt, someone will always chime in and go, oh, you know, what privilege, you're able to afford a gym membership, or you're able to, you know, you have a partner that can actually be there with your kids. And I'm saying once again, if it's possible. Not everyone's life scenarios are exactly the same. And honestly, I feel like, you know, first of all, I don't have a gym membership. I happen to live in a complex where there is a gym, but that is totally irrelevant in my opinion. Because let's say I had a top tier membership at the best gym in Sydney on the fucking top of the Opera House. Should I not try and encourage people to take the time for themselves in a way that they can? That is absolutely not my reality, but I'm just saying, should I not try to encourage people, new mums who hadn't thought to do this, you know, mums who are struggling to find time for themselves, should I not try to encourage them if our circumstances are not exactly the same?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I think I'm just getting tired of the outranking each other in difficulty. I think, you know, if we're really here looking for a true village, I think we have to be thinking both, how would I benefit from a village, but what can I bring to the village myself? Let's be village people, right? So it's not just about, I need a village because I need people surrounding me doing things for me. And if that doesn't exist, then fuck the world. Like, what would I bring to the village too? I don't think it's a flex that you have suffered more than other people. And I think we have to factor in the fact that, you know, everyone thinks that they've got it worse than others because no one's prepared to actually put their head in the life of someone else. No one's putting themselves actually in someone else's shoes. So I might only have 2 kids and someone else might have 5, but I might have a very different circumstance in terms of my partner's reality. So my husband works every single day. Someone with 5 kids might have a husband who's at home every single day. That's a very different reality in both our lives. So how can we, you know, I'm not here trying to outrank people. I'm very fortunate to have my parents living down the road. My parents don't live overseas or far away or, you know, are out of reach to me. They're very much within reach. So in that, I'm very fortunate. But in other ways, other people have it easier than me, and I'm not here for the outranking each other in difficulty. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Also, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I honestly believe we all have a different threshold. My tolerance for struggle, for physical struggle, for, you know, not having enough free time and free hands to be able to do things has totally changed now that I have two kids and now that I'm a relatively somewhat mildly seasoned mum versus my tolerance for that when I had my first baby. I was a completely different person. I was a shell of a mum when I first had a baby. I didn't know that it was possible to somehow have a shower. You know, I thought it was impossible to have a shower because if I put my baby in someone else's hands, my baby would be crying. Now, putting that hat on, if I had a friend who was having a baby now and my friend was thinking there's no way I can step in the shower because my baby will scream if my baby's not with me, I would be like, how can I help make that happen for you? I would honestly stand in the shower. I would stand in the bathroom holding your baby for you so that your baby can see you while you shower. I would step in, even though now in my life that is not necessary. You know, my baby, you know, he's in a bouncer, I'm having a shower, and it's manageable and it's okay and I can do that. I know what it's like to be a first-time mom and think that that is the worst thing in the world. That is the most difficult, you know, thing to manage because I don't have the free hands and I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, and on top of it, my baby's screaming and crying. Now, again, as a somewhat seasoned mom, I look at those scenarios different, but I reflect on that carefully. So I think, what would a new mom need from me as a somewhat seasoned mom if I was to be part of her village? I don't know if that makes any sense, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, coming together to actually think, if we're here to support each other as a village, we also need to factor in that new mums have a new, unique experience that we've all shared. How can we be there for them? If you've listened to my previous episodes, I've mentioned this idea of struggle shaming, and I believe it's a term that I've coined, you know, and it's the idea that we as mums are shamed for struggling by other mums that have been, you know, around longer than us, whether it's previous generations or whatever. And it's the idea that, you know, you're basically, if you're having a difficult time with this, imagine how hard I must have had it because I didn't have XYZ. So, you know, imagine you think you've got a lot of washing to do. Well, I used cloth nappies back in the day. And it's like, so I'm not allowed to express that it's difficult. I'm not allowed to feel like I'm struggling because you had it that much harder. And my opinion on that is absurd. It muzzles people from being able to share that they're struggling. And again, you're not factoring in the whole picture. You're not factoring in the whole picture because I might be struggling with the amount that I have to wash because I'm home every single day by myself with my two kids. And the person who's shaming me for struggling because they had to, you know, use cloth nappies might have had the luxury of having their partner home at 5 p.m. every single day. You know what I mean? So, or and on weekends and present. So there, it's just not a compare. You just can't make those comparisons. So I have a massive issue with struggle shaming because I think it's just an unfair, you're not factoring in the entirety of someone's life. And then layering on top of that, you're not factoring in that person's threshold for what they're capable of handling at the point in time. It's not a luxury to rest as a new mum. It's essential. And if you didn't get the opportunity to because of your circumstances, that's really, really tough. And that's really hard for you. And I feel for you. I didn't rest, but that was my choice. That's not because I couldn't. That's because I didn't understand the importance of it. But either way, it doesn't mean that new mums shouldn't be encouraged to sleep when the baby does. I feel like I'm being really harsh here and really angry, but I'm not. I just think it's a simple concept that we need to think maybe beyond how we've considered things in the past. We don't want to be told, oh, if it, you know, you think it's hard now, wait till the kid's a toddler, wait till they're teenagers. We don't want to be told that stuff. We don't want to be shamed for having difficulties now because, you know, mums in the 80s or the 70s had it harder in their way, in their opinion. We don't want to be struggle shamed, and we want to feel like we have a village, or at least that's what we say. So here, I guess my rant is about thinking, how do we actually play a part in that instead of cutting down every opportunity to support new mums because we feel like our situation is unique or somehow more challenging? I can't complain about existing in a world where there's no village if I'm not willing to do that for others. And honestly, I feel like that is something I'm so prepared to do. And I mean it. I mean it to my core. I feel like it's more than just a nice thing to do. I think we have to come back to our roots and think, if there's a new mum around, what role do I play? Not do I play a role, but what role do I play? When other, for example, in my family, I'm the only one in Australia within my family who has babies at the moment. But I guarantee, put my hand on fire and say that when other babies appear in my family, so my sister, my cousins, etc., if they choose to have kids, I don't just feel like, you know, if I've got some free time, I might step in. I actually feel like some kind of internal duty. Like, I feel that's my family. They're my, it's a role that I'm playing, not because, I mean, I can opt out. Obviously there is, you know, we all live independent lives. No one can expect anything from you. But I'm saying, me personally, I just feel like it's a given as a part of their village that I would step in, or at least try to if they needed me to. So, you know, if a new mum in my family needs to get to an appointment, I feel like it's my duty to help get her there if she needs it. So, you know, it's not a question of, oh, you know, reach out if you, because no one reaches out. We all know nobody reaches out. If I see that you need to get somewhere and you have a newborn and you're unable to make it to a particular appointment, or you're putting things off that have to do with your health, I'm there. Like, that to me is a village. It's not a question of, you know, you chose this life and you're kind of off on your own. I'll be up front and center until the person says to me, sorry, no, thank you. And that's probably unfortunate for the people in my family, because I'm not interested in kind of being on the side. I have to say, I'm extremely fortunate to have a very close-knit family. So I know that not everyone is in that position. And again, that's just my circumstances versus others. But all I'm saying is, you know, I think if you are close to your, if you have a close friend or a close family member who has a baby, and, you know, it's essential that they get to a particular appointment, we collectively have to gather and go, well, how do we get her there? Because she's struggling to sleep. She's not eating properly. You know, I don't know. The baby is very clingy with her. She can't drive yet because it's within the 6 weeks after giving birth, or she's had a cesarean, whatever it is. How do we support her to get there? That's my opinion. That's how I feel like we should be collectively. So again, when I post something online that's like, hey, mums, you know that you're meant to sleep, right? You know that you're meant to sleep. And everyone chimes in going, well, what about my circumstances? It's impossible. I just feel like, are we not allowed to share this with new mums? Like, I just, it, anyway, it's a bit of a problem for me. And I will continue to share that stuff, whether it's on this podcast, on social media, on my YouTube channel. If you don't know, I have a YouTube channel. Come and find me. It's Lorena V, LORENAV. And I basically have created this channel once again so I can share the realities of new mum life, because I don't want people to feel like their experience is unique. Now, I am no longer a new mum with one baby, so my reality is a little bit different to that of a new mum, but I'm constantly making a conscious effort to remind myself what new mum life feels like. On that note, I haven't eaten today. I am starving. My tummy's rumbling. I've breastfed about 1,000 times, so that's probably not a good idea. I think I need to top my cup up before I can continue to make milk, otherwise it's going to turn to powder. So once again, I'm here to remind you to trust your gut, be kind to your pooch, be somebody's village. You be my village and I'll be in yours. We can be each other's village together, but let's just think a little bit more collectively. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.